Healthcare costs on the rise for the U.S. government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, at member station WNYC, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. By the year 2020, almost half of the money spent on healthcare in this country will come from the government. That's according to new data from the trade journal Health Affairs. Here to talk about this with us is J.B. Silvers. He teaches healthcare finance at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, J.B.
Good morning.
Apparently, government spending in healthcare is going to reach $2.2 trillion in 2020, which is pretty high. Where is this price hike coming from? Is it healthcare reform? What is causing this price increase?
No, it's a fairly small amount from healthcare reform, just a fraction of a percent. And that's mainly due to expanded coverage. It's mostly due to expanded use of services. We just keep using more healthcare every year.
What does more government money going into healthcare mean for the healthcare industry?
Well, if you look at the way the market has seen healthcare, it's a growth industry. It's one of the bellwethers of the economy. That's the good side. The bad side is that means we pay more and more. So for the industry, this has been great. For the rest of the world, it's a big expensive thing that they'd rather not be paying.
What can be done to cut those costs, if anything?
We need to change how we use healthcare and how much of it we use in an intelligent way, using things that really work, processes that really work, and medications and such, and not be using so many things on people for which is not effective. And those are really winners, basically reorganizing how we provide healthcare.
J.B. Silvers is the chair of the Department of Banking and Finance at Case Western Reserve University. J.B., thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is a moody morning for the markets. European markets are mostly down. Germany's DAX is off 1.5%. Part of that is coming from worries about Italy. Its borrowing costs are on the rise this morning. Not to mention worries about the U.S. debt ceiling. Those helped push our markets down yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 198 points, 1.5% to 12,302. Meanwhile, the debt ceiling battle is setting up to be a squeaker. The U.S. Treasury has said the deadline to raise the debt ceiling is Tuesday, August 2nd. Meanwhile, a vote is set for today on a revised plan from Republican House Speaker John Boehner to raise the debt ceiling for just a few months. That's got some investors rushing to safety and others seeing opportunity. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins me now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Chris, how are investors able to make money off of a downgrade or a default?
There are three main tactics, Stacey. One is the sort of safer, more opportunistic bets. Then there are the more speculative bets that are going to make a profit off of a decline. And then the classic plays.
Tell me about some of the safer bets.
Okay, the safer bet, stocks might break. And you picked out the stocks you want to buy. As soon as they plummet, you buy those stocks, you hold on to them. Then there's going to be a deal. There will be a deal. Market rally, and you sell them.
And what about the more speculative plays?
This is where you start having fun. Now you can put into bear market mutual funds or these exchange-traded funds that for every percentage point the S&P 500 drops, you know, you'll gain three times the amount of money. I mean, all kinds of fun if you're on Wall Street. But typically what you're trying to do is play off a decline and profit from the decline in the bond market or in the stock market.
What are some of the other ways investors could potentially benefit?
We can't end this conversation without talking about gold. I mean, gold
I knew it was coming.
Classic,
I did.
It was coming. It's the classic catastrophe play. Gold's at over 1,600. If you adjust for inflation, it sure looks like it's heading toward its all-time peak. But you got some other plays. The Swiss franc, it's at an all-time high against the U.S. dollar. And then the Australian dollar, 28-year high. The Canadian dollar, highest since 2007. So again, money's fleeing in. And then, of course, if there's a deal or when there's a deal, you'll see a lot of selling.
What about those of us with 401ks and 403bs? Is there any way that we can possibly protect ourselves or benefit from this situation?
Think about all the turmoil of the past 5 years. Most people probably have a pretty conservative portfolio in their 401k, 403b. Stay the course and let the madness go on.
That is our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today, Ford announced it's opening a new car factory in Western India. But it's not going to be pumping out Ford F-150s and Explorers. The BBC's Rajini Vajanathan has more from India.
Most of the 10,000 Ford employees in India work in Chennai. It's called the Detroit of India because of the number of car companies setting up there. The new Ford factory will be in the western state of Gujarat. Cars here are typically smaller than in the US, and the small car market in India is crucial to Ford. Tom Chekalekal works for Ford.
Small cars are part of Ford's future, and being in this market and getting into that segment and winning a share of it is critical to Ford's growth plan globally.
Its Figo is one model aimed at the domestic consumer, as is the Indian-made Tata Nano, the world's cheapest car, which is also produced in Gujarat. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Rajini Vaidyanathan for Marketplace.
And finally, the British Advertising Standards Authority has banned two makeup ads, a Lancome ad with Julia Roberts and a Maybelline ad with Christy Turlington. They were deemed misleading for being overly airbrushed. On behalf of women everywhere who maybe don't look like Julia Roberts or Christy Turlington, even on a very non-airbrushed day, thank you, British Advertising Standards Authority. At the studios of WNYC in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Cod. It's the wave of the future.
The growing conditions in Maine are very good for cod, and it's a kind of a natural choice for us as a state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, teaching fishermen to be farmers at Cod Academy. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street and whatever's happening with the debt story as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.